told my sister. Actually, this one's all about Cyclops, his bitching and moaning. He's got his period.
That's another beat. Why is it, if someone's bitching and moaning, why do they have a period?
I don't know.
In my experience, they're not so much bitching and moaning as homicidal with rage.
Oh, it's Wolverine and he's getting his thing ripped out. This is...
You're not proving my point, Dave. See, this is me. This is me. I pick the comics that don't have the girls with their tits hanging out because I just get too mad. This is all about boys.
Rogue, there's got to be something in Rogue. There's always something in Rogue.
Rogue herself, I think, is very interesting.
Actually, that's a really good point. If we're talking about women in comics, a great place to start,
this is here we go,
is the X-Men.
The cards here, the women on the top, look at this. I think it's Red Sonja wearing black. You know?
Yeah.
Legs spread. This one here, she looks like she's wearing paint. Same with Rogue, same with this Storm. I think Rogue's even got nipple erections.
Oh dear.
You cannot flick, and then, you know, you cannot flick through a comic without being bombarded with these highly sexualized images
of women.
Of women, and it is completely and utterly unnecessary. I'm not saying that women can't be sexy, because shit, I love sexy women myself.
Okay. Right, we seem to be sorted.
Yep, we're ready to go.
Great, right.
Enough of my rambling.
Okay. I always love the old Wonder Woman covers. Not because I actually enjoy the content, but because they're hilarious. This is back in the days when you had Superman and Batman appearing in comics, beating up the Japanese and advertisements for joining the war. This is back in the days when apparently Suffering Sappho was completely acceptable. The only problem is I don't think they're really cluing in what she's actually going on about. Or maybe they could be, maybe they're just having a laugh at comic readers' expense, but you know... Wonder Woman and her bondage fetish is one of the most famous examples of women in comics. I've got another one here. However, not everyone is also fond of Wonder Woman in the history of comic books. Yeah.
Why is it like that?
She's not. Yeah, no,
okay.
Not really appropriate, even by the standards, not appropriate.
Yeah.
The great thing about this particular comic is called The Pro. It's about a prostitute joining Justice League, essentially. They would not have got away with it it's actually highly sexist, but in an entirely terrible sense. I don't think they would have gotten away with it if they didn't have a woman illustrating it. But, you know, that's just one of the quirks. Okay.
Blaine.
Honestly, Blaine started being written in about 62 period. I don't know, started writing Blaine a long, long time ago. And she aged very slowly, considering that she wrote a lot of Dick Blaine before, well, the final one of the Blaine story was released in 2007, the final chapter. I'm not going to spoil it, but she finally wrapped up with Dick Blaine 49 odd years later. She aged 20 years in that time. So she did age very slowly and she had a life path lived, but she started off as a criminal mastermind at 17 years old, yeah, and he let her age slowly. And she ran a crime network and then she went on to work for the British Secret Service and she had a male sidekick and she had Robin,
Billy,
and she had a private life. And she kicked ass repeatedly.
And uniquely, she managed to do it with almost all of her clothing on.
Oh no, she took her clothes off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she did. And there are multiple comments from her running out topless.
Yeah.
And she had a big rash.
Yeah.
She used the nailer to paralyze entire roomfuls of male criminals. She would take her top and her bra off and burst into a room with her gun there. And they would be paralyzed with awe and shock for like 2 critical seconds and she would kill them all.
Mm.
Which was just hilarious.
Mm.
And I never really managed to deconstruct it adequately because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
It's like the Wonder Woman bondage fetish.
ludicrous.
You know they can't possibly mean it. Seriously.
I'm sorry. These might think of the mafia. She goes into a room full of mafia and they're so overcome at the sight of her nipples that they can't shoot for 2 critical seconds and she manages to kill them all. I'm just going to go away now. It's fabulous.
I don't think they're really that powerful.
Yeah.
I rule the world.
Slapstick in places. But she remains an incredibly powerful character.
That's much of
Revelation 73. Mm. So, I deep fondness for Mr. Blaze. She doesn't always win either. Sometimes she gets to lose, which
is great. It's introducing a flaw in your comic character, which makes them more relatable.
I thought it was good that it was all about her and her adventures, which at the time, I don't think there really was, other than Wonder Woman, a comic where a woman was just a woman in charge of herself and her life and doing what she wanted, which is
great. And she had a male sidekick who wasn't her lover.
Yeah.
And they were very clearly best friends.
Yeah.
And they were never lovers. And I admired that too.
Yeah.
So it was pretty revolutionary stuff, even if she did it, just from taking her top off.
But then again, that's the fan service element. I mean, you're going to get that with just about any comic. The protagonist is going to get naked somewhere.
You see my picture anyway?
In a lot of comics nowadays, for example, Girl Genius, there is a lot of fan service, but uniquely the fan service is on both sides of the spectrum. There is almost an equal amount of men getting naked as there is women.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, yes!
Well, once it goes to Mastermind, the men will take the clothes off too, so thank you very much, Peter O'Donnell, for letting us have your garden running around pissed top off a lot. We appreciate the effort.
Well, yeah, I'm keeping it in mind when I'm writing my comics. I like the girls to be sexy in my comics.
Yeah.
They're built
well,
it's like actual women. Yeah. But I also like to celebrate the male form as well. And I think there's nothing wrong with celebrating the form of human beings, as long as it's even-handed.
Yeah, it's part of art. You know, people like exploring human forms in all of its different forms. People, you know, are attracted to certain things, and thus in an effort to, you know, increase readership or their own enjoyment, they will draw what they are attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
It's how the human brain works. Now, here, going from an example of how to do it right, this is an example of how to do it wrong. Has everyone heard of Rob Liefeld?
Yes.
Yes. Rob is... Yeah. Rob is an interesting case. I believe he founded Image Comics, who recently brought out a title called Girls about psychotic alien women who descended to Earth completely naked in a ship shaped like a sperm in an effort to kill all the women and have sex with all the men to replicate themselves. It's hysterical because... No, they have sex with other men and then reproduce themselves. They take over planets.
I don't know how they would have evolved,
but it's not a good science. It's not a good science. It's hysterical. It's hysterical because it's so not politically correct. It's completely misogynist, and it takes this kind of gleeful joy in breaking all the rules.
Just 1 second, you keep talking.
And, you know, it's aware of its inappropriateness and kind of like, which I appreciate because it's the complete opposite to Why the Last Man, which is all very, oh, we're going to be completely respectful and politically correct to women, and it's just like patronizing. Or we'll get to Why the Last Man later, and it's a very well written comic, so. This is only my opinion. Everyone is free to disagree with me, but it still reads like Brian K. Walker making a harem anime. Okay.
Sorry, guys.
I hit my face.
I'm just pointing out that pose. I hadn't noticed why it comes out. It's the Tiffany pose.
Yes.
Women do not stand like that. People do not stand.
You can't. I am like that. Without hairy muscles down one side.
Actually, there's a picture of Cyclops standing like that, which you'll see later on.
Yeah, if you look at comic pictures, the one thing I pointed out, you go, that's another thing that I
covered,
and there's like,
I can try.
I covered it like 5 years in a row. Ready? Okay.
Right.
So my boobs.
Thus he likes all feet to be as far away from him as possible. If you see any actual art, any other art of his, especially males as well, they will either be cut off at the knees or their feet will be arranged in such a way that foreshortening makes them about that big.
He's fucking lazy. That's all I can say.
Also, there's an unfortunate line effect down here, which kind of makes her look like she has sideburns. I mean, it would be cool if she had sideburns, and it is a big character trait, but this is wrong, so I highly doubt it. Yeah, the tuba tip effect is also famous.
I love the shoulders
are forward like this, but the body is like this.
I don't think he ever learned proportions.
It's not even proportions, it's like a map.
She would have to be broken, her back would have to be broken in several places.
I think her arm would have to be broken here as well, because you can actually see that section of the arm, even though the shoulders are.
Her arms are back, and her trapezius looks like a man's. Yeah,
so basically,
Rob needs to see more naked women so he can draw them properly. That's the only possible reason I could advocate for.
You know,
but
he has seen naked women, he's told them
he'd be drawing.
Well, that's not necessarily true. A lot of comic artists get laid.
I get laid.
Yeah, here is another classic example of the tumor bosom.
Hang on a minute. Anybody got a pen? Can I borrow your pen?
Oh, hang on, no, it's all right. Here, here's your pen back.
All right. Just imagine. Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. I actually have a Photoshop version of this at home, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, oh, the Black Canary. She's.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, people. Comic artists are used to drawing, you know, powerful images of people which end up with, you know, really powerful shoulders. But the thing is, women in comic sketches appear to only have powerful shoulders. They have no muscle tone on the rest of their body. And it's all, you know, tiny, tiny waist. Whereas if she was, you know, I wish I could find
She should be carrying a six-pack.
Yeah, she should. She should actually have really big
shoulders. The shoulders are here, and like her hips are there as well.
Yeah, her boobs can't be facing that direction.
Did anybody ever see Xena Warrior Princess when it was on?
Yeah.
All of the women in that were quite athletic. And
the more athletic you get, the less weight you get.
Yeah. Renee O'Connor had, she played Gabrielle, had these six-packs. This abdomen of just, I've always been jealous of her fucking abdomen, it's just amazing. And she had these powerful thighs and powerful arms, but she wasn't fat. I mean, my Hollywood would say she was fat. But she, that is, when I draw, or when it, you know, when I think of a strong, muscular person, I think of the women on that show, like Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor and the Amazons that had kids. That's what a woman looks like when she works out. Yeah.
My favourite Lucy Lawless quote ever was when an interviewer asked her what she thought of Sarah Palin being called Xena, Warrior Princess, and her response was, Palin's a lesbian too?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
I fucking love that. Yeah. I love that so much. That was brilliant.
Okay, yeah. This is a bit more like it. Here we're slowly getting to, you know, sure, it's still objectification, but it's still totally on its objectification across the board, so no one really minds. Because everyone knows that Kaja's behind the scenes, chiseling away. And the great thing about Agatha is, if you look like right here, she's actually got curves. She's got body fat that exists. And she's wearing clothes that don't reveal everything or move in improbable ways, and she actually covers her rack a lot of the times. Not all of the time. There is the fact, you know, she quite frequently wakes up in her underwear covered in oil. And he manages to explain that in a plot device, which is incredible. I have no idea how he does that. Yeah, this is one of my favourite female characters in comic books. Julie Beaufort is the heroine of Preacher, written by Garth Ennis. Preacher is remarkable in that it's one of the most offensive comic books written, because it deals with just about everything controversial. It, you know, it's deliberately set out to offend. It's about a preacher hunting down God because God's lying scumbag, basically. So it's, you know, it's pretty, you know, to be taken with a grain of salt. But the relationship between Tulip and Jesse is very real. Jesse is, you know, he's an old school Texan, so he can't handle the idea that his girlfriend can't handle herself in a firefight. He doesn't want her around when she could possibly be in danger because he worries about her. So every time there is a threat of, you know, a threat of violence, he will try and leave her behind. She gets incredibly offended about this because she can handle herself. In fact, she's a hit woman. And, you know, is quite handy with a gun. She was effectively raised as a boy. And the great thing about this is that Tulip realizes that Jesse still has her best interests in heart. She kind of loves him for that care he's showing, but she's still pissed off as hell and he keeps, you know, leaving her in France whenever she's trying to go out and save him. The great thing about that particular thing is that, you know, when she finally snaps and she's like, right, that's it, he's gone off on one last goofy adventure, I'm going to save his life, then I'm going to kill him. It's fantastic. It's really great. This is one of my favourites.
Did you get that from me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You told the story.
Alright. There, I forgot to get the picture of the original maquette. Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3?
Spider-Man
3. Spider-Man 3. Quite a big, in the public eye. People were beginning to really know who Spider-Man was. And they also knew who Mary Jane was. To them, Mary Jane was kissed and dunced. To them, Mary Jane got angry at Spider-Man for being a jerk and blah, blah, blah. She was there. She was right by his side. And then, blunderingly, Marvel releases a maquette. I will demonstrate.
Imagine, if you will, that I'm wearing a very low tight top. Can everybody see me? Or should I go again? I'll go again. She's here like this. Don't be in the high heels. But she's in the high heels and the velvet necklace here means it really low cut. And thumb up here, boobies, and she's holding up. This is her washing, and she's going like this.
With the Spider-Man costume.
With the Spider-Man costume hanging in her hand. And a bottle of detergent by her feet.
You can just
pass that around and show people.
Yeah.
I don't
know why I felt that
way. She was kind of, I'm not even giving her way too much. It was more like that. And, you know, her cheeks were like in the dress like this, and it was a pearl necklace, and she has this saucy look on her face, and
it was like, there is nothing that gets me soaked like doing washing.
And of course, all these women saw it that worked in the music, in the comic industry.
And across the blocks, it just kind of exploded.
Devil Thingy, Wolverine Road Fame together.
Devil Doll
picked up, I did this drawing, but people at Fandom Wank, because they picked it up, and my friend Devil Doll, and because I was pissed off by it, and I had ranted and raved and gotten angry so many times about this, and it seemed that for once, something that had been run-of-the-mill, completely normal for comic, like, it's just been accepted for 30 years now, they make maquettes with tits hanging out, it's just part of it. And the regular public saw it, got pissed, and I thought,
you know, this is great. And instead of getting angry and ranting and raving, I thought, I'm going to take it. I'll take it on with comedy. And so I drew this picture of Spider-Man in a jockstrap doing Mary Jane's washing. Bitch. It says bitch on here. Bitch. It exploded. It ended up on Fox Internet News website. It was fucking crazy. I thought, I've been hammering away at this art thing for years. What do I get? What do I get with my big break that splashes across the internet, my 15 minutes of fame? Here's art! What the fuck? So, yeah, but it started something off for me. Oh, hang on, that's a good comic. See if that's good. That's bad. This is Adam Hughes. Look at that shit. Oh, it's a Walking Dead. I'm trying to find my... hang on, we'll click out and go to the thumb drive. Oh, okay, click out, go to the thumb drive. Because I just wanted to show a couple of the drawings that me and Tina did. Tina's my sister. She's the other half of our comic label. She does her own comics. I do my own comics. Sometimes we help each other out. She should fucking be here.
What, Sexy Gambit?
Yeah, Sexy Gambit. Click on Sexy Gambit. There. Here we go. Sexy Gambit. This is Tina's work. Notice the low riding.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big cock.
it has some resemblance to the Tom Finland.
He looks like he wants to fuck you, right? It's ridiculous. It looks. I mean, look, girls might like it, but it's ridiculous. That's the next one.
Okay. Well,
Oh dear. It's a guy. What I really love about this design of this. Oh, if you ever noticed one of the defences of Emma, these bizarre kind of, do you know that bizarre Emma Frost
suit?
Yeah, and they're thinking up there and they're saying, oh, but it makes an X. It's a naked X across the chest, basically, which means shit to me. So I thought, when I've designed Sexy Cyclops and Sexy, this is all skin showing here. And it's skin showing here. I haven't actually coloured it in yet. And this makes an X. I could be aimful. Which, and he's got his mouth hanging open. Women often have sexy face with their mouth hanging open. You know, so,
yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, if I get to show this to other people, that they can think, stop and think how a woman feels when she sees another woman. To us, to most women, women are not in,
they're not objects.
Oh, yeah, right? There's a certain number of us that they are. I'm one of them. But, this is Superman, the teacher. But to most,
no, I'm not sci-fi
boots. So it's just, yes, indeed, sci-fi boots, because I just love sci-fi boots. They're just like, I put everybody in sci-fi boots and armbands and you've got these mighty super nipples.
So here's the cape attached to.
There's a special button here. I don't know what it's attached to. It's not attached to any super glue. Yes.
Exploded.
but there was also Nightcrawler and Walbus.
Let's go for Walbus.
Yeah.
Tina did this wonderful picture of Wolverine.
The split leg pose! And so she applied it to Wolverine, which I thought he was kind of horny.
I always thought he'd be more of a...
Yeah.
Which is another.
If I saw Hugh Jackman doing this, I think I'd die. I'm saying, isn't Karen Allen fantastic? See, she could hear this if she were here.
I'm going to keep thinking about this. She's so going to get it from me.
I like a coy little smirk, too.
That's yeah, cool. the little lift eyebrow and the coy. It's so coy.
It's so cute.
Okay, and Nightcrawler.
And Nightcrawler seems to be a play on the classic, you know, the classic anime kitty thing.
The tiger, there was a tiger, and she did this exact pose. And I said, Tanya, you ought to do Nightcrawler like that. Because with a woman with her ass in the air like that, with anybody with their ass in the air, the first thing you think of is penis in the hall. Is that what you guys think of? No,
I just think
she's going to
get a background.
There is a total innuendo here.
Yeah.
Adding with a tail. This female insertion. That's the type of that.
And they put women in that pose all the time on covers of magazines. Because they say animalistic.
I've heard a lot of boys generally argue that, you know, the female fans are the guys because, you know, it's
about
what guys
are doing.
And the male, you know, all the male artists
for
the girls,
which
guys
are
like,
they're
not.
No,
guys
are
shy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like bringing ideas. All of the really provocative male counts you will see are for the gay male audience. You will not see very many outside of manga for women. And that's the advantage of manga, is that they have a large female audience, so you'll get a lot of fan service.
I will, which is to say that I will be providing plenty of female fan service in my upcoming comic, Bird Martian, where the Martians sometimes go around without shirts on and they're all built like Hugh Jackman.
I study actual anatomy, so it's actual anatomy like what you saw up there, what I drew before, not like
so, okay.
Yeah. I would like to actually do an experiment and try and light fill a guy. Oh, actually, no. Has anyone ever seen that picture of Captain America?
Yes.
With the,
That's exactly how it is. His torso is approximately that big. So much.
Torso is actually like this.
Pretty good, but she's just a fucking star.
Yeah.
She's an Australian artist.
And Charles Moyne did a good job, girl.
Yeah,
that's a great one for, you know, it's got the Black Canary, who basically runs around in fishnets as a leather jacket. So it's hard not to objectify her, but Charles Moyne does it really well. She's very good. Then again, she also writes freaking amazing Deadpool. So go read that for, you know, the complete opposite of objectification. Angry man with cancer runs around and insults people. That's
it. The point of it is that this sexiness on the woman's part, it has to be her choice. And it has to be her power and something she... It shouldn't define her. So many times, a woman...
We have life feels.
A female's looks define her, whereas with male
heroes, it's usually their story defines them or their powers define them. I mean, when people think of Wolverine, other than me, they don't see muscles with nice crotch or
cute ass. They think short, angry, hairy, snickety, snickety, snide.
That's what they think. When they think of Cyclops, they think, oh, blah. You know?
Yeah.
If they think Professor Xavier, that bald guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I think John Luke. Yeah, me too. But if they think of, say, Emma Frost or Wonder Woman, they think, oh, yeah, that blonde, like, we're never the cheese. You know?
The funny thing about X-Men is if you look at the powers of the female X-Men as opposed to the male X-Men, you've got Gambit, who's male, he blows crap up. You've got Wolverine, male, he stabs things. You've got Cyclops, male, he can decimate an entire civilization. Then you've got Jubilee, Razzle Dazzle. You've got Emma Frost, Diamond. You have Storm, Wind.
Yeah.
It's very, and you know,
Rogue
is the one exception.
Kitty
Pryde is Kitty Pryde's classic. The women tend to have very positive powers. Rogue is passive. I'm British, I will say it. Passive.
I'm sorry. It's like glass water stuff.
That's going to me, Major. I want to play the grand piano.
I
don't
know. Well,
Lady Deathstrike is basically a Wolverine that dudes are allowed to be attracted to because, yeah, that's what she is.
Perfectly. I would never blame a man for finding Wolverine attractive.
Okay. Sadness, we don't blame anyone for thinking Wolverine's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's just easier than he's too many.
Cyclops is good in the Joss Whedon Astonishing X-Men when he stops being, you know, pretty Scott Summers and loses his powers and goes on a shooting rampage.
And tries to
fight him. Cyclops doesn't go on a shooting rampage. It's like Superman punching orphans.
This is another example of
Batgirl.
Nothing with proportions. They end up with male shoulders and female from here down, except for this, which is frankly alien.
The thing about Powergirl, this is Powergirl. She's supposed to be an alternate Supergirl or something, like clone or something. I've read up on it, I forgot. And
she doesn't think.
No, and her defining thing, shit you not, is that she's got big tits. Like, when they made her, they said, let's have it, right, so that she has big tits, and everybody makes a thing about her tits. So everybody she comes across,
it's like everyone makes fun of Wolverine being Canadian.
Yeah. Everybody makes a joke about her tits. The only good thing about Power Girl is she tells them to fuck off. You know, well, not literally, not that word, but she does get very tired of people making a fuss of her tits. And I just want to
die.
I'm actually waiting for the first female superheroine in a burqa. It's going to happen one day.
That's really cool. Don't inspire me. I might end up running.
New X-Men. Dust.
What about
Dust?
Dust,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
She had a character. She was
overworked,
and they apparently made a big deal about it and her kind of falling bad, and then she died or something. It's not a girl free comic, because you got a girl free comic.
Yeah,
that has the whole thing. I haven't read.
That's a girl wonder.org, a girl-wonder.org, by the way. Wow. It's a really, really good place to find out.
In the list.
It explains this, by the way. A girl-wonder.org. It explains this. You see how they look like they're linked? Basically, yeah, at the site, they have links to explanations to the arguments that these, I encourage you to go read the arguments, especially if you plan on talking about this with people on the internet in the future, because well, most people here are pretty cool and not douchebaggy. So
this one here is a great example of a female character who is not sexualized. The great thing about Andrea in Walking Dead, she's the characters in Walking Dead are trapped in a zombie apocalypse, basically. They are in a prison, living out zombie apocalypse as best they can.
They all wear prison uniforms, so that removes the kind of clothing difference between men and women, which is, you know, all of the female characters from the older ones, you know, the woman with the baby to Andrea to the kids, all wear prison uniforms. And the great thing about Andrea is that she's sure of herself. She's one of the best shots in the team, and she's dating a guy who's about 70. And it's the most adorable relationship because she's devoted to this guy. And it's just like, yeah, that's a real person. She has her own, you know, quirky thing. She's a bit of a hard case sometimes. It can be too much so, and she can also sometimes be, you know, too much of a girl occasionally, and that, you know, she's, you know, over emotionalizes things, but she's very real and she's not drawn as
absolutely,
I love Rookie. I'm sorry.
You shame the brotherhood.
I was about to say, what if we none of us? Yeah, do it.
We're Comic Con.
It's a short ball there. It's going to last two more days.
Okay.
I'm going to let Frozen out of the audience you improve the show
podcast. That was the last year's Redskin War, wasn't it?
This picture is also titled, "Oh God, it's in my colon."
Lara Croft is—it's frustrating because Lara Croft is the potential to be a really inspiring. Also, yeah.
I've always wondered. I've had an afternoon with her inside before, and you cannot do anything athletic without a super bra on.
I know.
It hurts like the very devil.
The focus of
the person she managed to have.
The entire focus of this picture, and even in the composition line.
Look at the tits. Look at the tits. Look at the tits.
And very, very often, Lara Croft is reduced to how sexy hexagons.
Hexagons?
Well, when you first animate things, it's very hard to get smooth lines, so they end up to be hexagons.
Ah, right. Yeah, yeah. That said, I know that Lara Croft has encouraged a lot of girls to get into gaming. And,
yes.
She kind of expanded
after that.
Then Angelina Jolie played her, and it was just shit.
This is Why the Last Man. This is only my opinion. I do realise a lot of people enjoy it and say it's a really good and revolutionary comic, and I won't deny that. But, to me, it's an example of what happens when people are like, okay, we need strong women in comics. Let's take it the other way. Hey, here's a revolutionary idea. Let's write a story where all the men in the world die except for one dude and his pet monkey. And everyone else on the planet is women. Of course, the planet falls to bits. That's kind of expected when half the human race dies. It does make some interesting points about, you know, the traditional male role. But also, all the women are crazy. Which is a little bit of, okay, how do you deal with that? And there's, you know, it's all the women above got crazy. And the thing that amused me endlessly was the main character, Yorick, constantly whining about being sexualized. Constantly. Like, oh, everyone in the planet wants to sleep with me. This isn't fair. I'm a person, not just a piece of meat. And yet, you know, as you progress through, Sophie, do you want to tell the story about Beth?
Oh, yeah. The story I was telling you this morning, I like the comic overall. Emily gave up early on. And overall, I think the portrayal of women, I don't know if you went to the panel yesterday where I was ranting about strong women who are written by men who like hip-hop from the hot, which is not quite the same as actually writing those stories.
Yeah.
I think Brian Devon's from the hot. There's an element of that. But it's not overall not too bad. It's a scene where this character is in Australia, and she's wandering about, and she meets a group of Aboriginal women, and they say, "What are you doing on my land? You should go away." Like, the women, we finally, you know, got a bit of pattern of sight about the fact that they didn't even fight. And then they capture her, drug her, and tie her to a tree, which is a little, you know, take off her top, take circles on her boobs, and then give her a real fear attack, I suppose, and she has a spiritual dream journey, as you do when you're an Arab character written by an American, and learns magical truths which she uses for the rest of the plot. But there's just this scene where she's sitting tied to a tree topless with devil in her boobs, and it's just... I was like, why, oh God, did you have to write it? It's a woman who's written pictures. And I kept looking for it on the internet when I showed it. Like, when people were talking about Why the Last Man, I'm like, well, it's overall okay, except for this scene. But for some reason, it didn't seem scanned. I guess if I didn't scan...
I don't think moments like that when reading, Alan Moore comics.
Yeah,
so that's
the right option. You have to put that thing.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Promethea?
Yes, Promethea.
Okay, there's a character called Sophie. She's a nice young woman. I can kind of identify with this. She's learning about magic. So she meets this old man and says, I'll teach you about magic. And how I'll teach you about magic is we'll have lots and lots of sex.
Yeah.
And while we'll have sex, there'll be pages and pages of really boring exposition.
Yeah. I thought it was shitty that for her to get any power, she had to be penetrated by a man.
A pretty weird looking old guy.
Yeah, and he's got this creepy old guy thing. I don't know what it is, but it makes me uncomfortable and I don't like it.
No, I don't know.
If we're talking about women in comics, we can't really not mention Frank Miller.
Oh, who knows Frank Miller?
Oh, Frank, you wacky funster.
Hang on, I'm going to draw a Frank Miller. I've gotten good at it. I really like you. You have to peel off that board.
I love Frank Miller's style. There are some things about his stuff.
He's like a kind of bastard. I don't know how he does. But,
I hate how he treats women.
The Frank Miller test, Sophie told me this morning, is basically, if... Look at your female comic characters ratio. They're more bookers than non-bookers. If there's more bookers, congratulations, you're Frank Miller.
Okay,
this is how Frank Miller feels.
Oh wow, that's quite
reasonable. Yeah.
He likes the girl.
Yeah. Myself and my girlfriend are working on a comic called Recon Salute. Where the villainess is actually based on a Frank Miller, she is based on a caricature of Frank Miller. She's like, okay, this is what Frank Miller was trying to do. Let's try and get it right. Let's take one of these characters and make them realistic. And then this is...
I thought you were going to give a giant little bit.
Of course,
it's got textual. It looks kind of
like a slightly more X-rated cast.
Yeah, it's
kind
of cool. You
kind of
draw
the
girl better than he would.
You see women, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely.
Nasty.
What?
Oh yeah, that girl is called Nancy.
No, Nancy Callahan.
I never hear that name.
Nancy Callahan. You know, skinny little Nancy. She grew up. She filled out. Okay, I'll write that for me. Time. Don't say that.
Yeah, that's a Frank Miller drawing.
Ow.
Hey, just talking about, for instance, I tend to think about being going to the life of growing. I thought it was worth mentioning the women in refrigerators.
Yes.
And also, the two things I think is worth mentioning, and also the fact that whether or not how you draw women, all the examples so far have been young and thin.
Yeah.
And reasonably so. You haven't had any, like, if you look at our characters in the superhero, they're all changing modern men. So, Cesarex.
Yeah.
And Magneto and stuff who are old.
Yeah.
And. Well, you don't get any overweight or disabled characters who are anybody in superheroes. But no, that's not something to do with women. Even in the more feminist comics, they're still young and pretty. They're not quite as objectified. But
yeah,
it could be her characters in a different outfit, a bit of latex, and they're not in the right shot, but be objectified still. You don't have any genuinely unattractive by conventional
characters. That was where I started getting crossed with Walking Dead, was that you started out with a cross section of all ages and all female characters who were
in fact, sexualized. Like Donna, who was, you know, in her 40s, was one of the early on characters, and she, you know, she had a husband and twin sons, and she was, in an extent, sexualized. Like, there was a scene where she and her husband were, you know, talking, and, talking, and she finally stopped being grumpy at the rest of the gang, and her husband rolls over and says, "Hey, do you want to have sex?" And her, one of the kids pops up and goes, "What's a sex?" That's your answer, honey. It's just, it's beautiful. But, you know, gradually, because it's a zombie comic, all the characters kind of fall off the perch, and you gradually lose the women who are older, of a different intelligence level. I think the black woman is still running around somewhere. I hope so, because I'm going to get really cross and kill all the black characters off. But still, you know, you do end up with, you know, you do tend to end up with the white bread, wholesome middle class characters surviving till the end, which is, yeah. And on the subject of, you know, female comic characters with powers, you don't tend to get a lot of, you don't tend to get a lot of female comic characters with very aggressive powers. One of the few who does have very aggressive powers are Debris from New Warriors. But there's an interesting racist stereotype in there, because Debris is black.
Yeah.
And her power is moving rubbish. Like, oh dear. Oh dear. You did not just go, oh.
No.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I think Rogue's power is pretty
Rogue is good.
But it's interesting because
Jean Grey the giant Mary Sue.
Yeah. We won't even talk about Jean. I want to look at Rogue for one second. She has this power where it can make her the most powerful mutant that ever was. She can suck up everybody's powers, and sometimes she even keeps them, and she has kept them in the past.
Well, that's only if she kills people.
She says only she kills people, but she has done it in the past. But she has the potential to be one of the most dangerous mutants ever. But she is constantly...
Okay, let's cut her. Just find that hilarious.
You're covered up. She's, you know, gloved up. She's covered up.
She's always got that faint smirk, which is said she knows she can take you to the cleaners, but she isn't going to jump yet. She just finished picking her nails.
She's always, you know, she's a sword, basically. You were going to say that?
Her main plot arcs almost always tend to be about her not liking her powers.
Yeah, and
I find she's a little bit too opposite of that personality, a little bit too, like, emotionally weak.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on her emotional
weakness. I think
with the male character with the powers, they would.
Yeah, they seem to be obsessed with the fact that there's this beautiful woman that they cannot touch. And they completely miss the fact that maybe she doesn't want to be touched. From the survivor, it's something that has come to me from understanding a sexual assault survivor angle, that this assumption that a woman wants to be touched, that that's all she wants, that that's the thing you want most in life, right, is to be touched. And everything Rogue is, and Rogue is so much about her, there's so much about this character that is brilliant, I think. And it always comes down to the fact that she can't have a sexual relationship with Gambit.
Both ways, because
you do it.
Yeah.
Men aren't allowed.
They're not allowed to.
They're not allowed to not feel good about
Becoming a woman who's not objectified shall become a dead girl.